Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. I have to get myself off the mute here.
We'll be getting started at about 10 after. No later than 15.
Okay.
I'm here already. We're just waiting for to go inside. So about 10:15 after, we're going to actually start. So you'll hear the Adhan again. But I would think that you would just, at 10 after, you would just leave us open, and then we'll go from there.
All right. We'll play one hadith right now, everyone. And then, as Imam said, Imam Abdulaziz, let us know 10 after 1. Thank you so much, Imam. Looking forward to all that. Oh, my God. Bless. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam to Allah. If you don't hear anything, this it's because we were just waiting. So we might be a couple of minutes afterwards, but we're around between 10 and 15 after, inshallah. We'll be getting started, okay? So everybody just hang in there with us. Bear with us, inshallah, ta'ala. And may Allah bless us to get the most out of this little time we do have together. And to that we say, ameen. Assalamu alaikum.
Ameen. Alaikum assalam.
Hadith number 2.
عن عمر رضي الله عنه أيضا قال بينما نحن جلوس عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات يوم إذ طلع علينا رجل شديد بياض الثياب شديد سواد الشعر لا يرى عليه أثر السفر ولا يعرفه منا أحد حتى جلس إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأسند ركبتيه إلى ركبتيه ووضع كفيه على فخذيه وقال يا محمد أخبرني عن الإسلام فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الإسلام أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة وتصوم رمضان وتحج البيت إن استطعت إليه سبيلا قال صدقت فعجبنا له يسأله ويصدقه قال فأخبرني عن الإيمان قال أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره قال صدقت قال فأخبرني عن الإحسان قال أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك قال فأخبرني عن الساعة قال ما المسؤول عنها بأعلم من السائل قال فأخبرني عن أماراتها قال أن تلد الأمة ربتها وأن ترى الحفاة العراة العالة رعاء الشاء يتطاولون في البنيان ثم انطلق فلبست مليا ثم قال يا عمر أتدري من السائل؟ قلت الله ورسوله أعلم قال فإنه جبريل أتاكم يعلمكم دينكم رواه مسلم.
Also on the authority of Umar radiallahu anhu, who said, one day while we were sitting with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a man came over to us whose clothes were exceedingly white and whose hair was exceedingly black. No signs of travel were seen on him, but none of us knew him. He came and sat down opposite the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and rested his knees against his, placing the palms of his hands on his thighs. He said, O Muhammad, inform me about Islam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Islam is to testify that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. To establish prayer, to give zakah, to fast Ramadan, and to make the pilgrimage to the house if you are able to do so. He said, You have spoken the truth. And we wondered at his asking him and confirming it. He said, Then inform me about Iman. He said, It is to believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, and the last day, and to believe in predestination, both the good and the evil thereof. He said, You have spoken the truth. He said, Then inform me about Ihsan. He said, It is to worship Allah as though you see Him. If you do not see Him, indeed He sees you. He said, Then inform me about the hour. He said, The one questioned about it knows no more than the questioner. He said, Then inform me of its signs. He said, That the slave woman will give birth to her mistress, and that you will see barefooted, naked, destitute shepherds competing in the loftiness of constructions. Then he departed, and I stayed for a time. Then he said, O Umar, do you know who the questioner was? I said, Allah and His Messenger are more knowing. He said, It was Gabriel. He came to you to teach you your religion. Narrated by Muslim. A few notes about the hadith. The house mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his statement, Make the pilgrimage to the house if you are able to do so, refers to the Kaaba in Mecca. In Gabriel's inquiries about Iman, Ihsan, and the hour, Iman means faith or belief. Ihsan means good conduct or proficiency in religion. And the hour refers to the time of resurrection.
Is there a way I can put this up, man?
Thank you.
Assalamualaikum. Just bear with us. We need a couple more minutes. We're having some technical difficulties with the sound system. Inshallah ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. حي الصلاة حي الفلاح حي الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين والصلاة الله وسلامه ورحمته وبركاته على صفوة الخلق سيدنا محمد وعلى أهله الطاهرين وعلى أصحابه أجمعين ورحمة الله ومغفرته على تابعين وتابعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين والسلام علينا وعلى عباده الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. We seek refuge in Allah from Shaitan the accursed. We begin with the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We praise him and we seek his aid. And we humbly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to establish his prayers, peace, mercy and blessings upon his noble messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we humbly ask Allah for the same prayers, peace, mercy, and blessings upon all of his family members who follow him in purification. And we humbly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the same prayers, peace, mercy, and blessings upon all of his illustrious companions together. We ask the forgiveness of Allah, mercy upon the followers, and then upon their followers in excellence to the day of judgment. And we humbly ask Allah to establish peace amongst ourselves in the righteous servants of Allah, no matter where we may be, no matter where we may be from, and to all of that we say, Ameen. And we also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to establish his peace as well as his mercy upon the two sheikhs, Imam Ahmed Alama Tawfiq and Imam Waratuddin Muhammad. May Allah be pleased with both of them and grant them proximity to the highest good. And to that we say Ameen. And so today, dear brothers and sisters, we want to begin by bearing witness that there's none worthy of worship or praise except Allah, who is unique without any associate whatsoever, and bearing witness that Muhammad is his servant and messenger. Allah calls our attention in the Quran and he states, or he declares, or he ordains, he orders, O ye who have obtained true faith, fasting is prescribed for you in the same way it was prescribed for those who came before you, so that you may develop God consciousness, so that you may develop self-restraint, so that you may develop taqwa. And so we want to begin by talking to you today, inshallah ta'ala. We won't keep you long and we won't press you. We will just share with you some words, inshallah ta'ala, that not only speak to you, but speak to myself and our brotherhood. And as we look at the time in which we're in, it's very necessary that we speak to each other. But we speak to each other in a way that makes it clear and gives us some perspective so that when we come away from the conversation, we're going about our work. It's important that we understand that. It's no longer the idea behind, well, I did enough. We can never do enough. We say in our du'as to Allah, La manja minka ila ilayk. There's no refuge from you except to you. So if it's to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where the refuge is, then that means the work is not done. That means we're not finished. That means he has some more stuff for us to do. If we're still here, whatever our age is, if you're still here, then there's some more work for you to do. If you're a senior, a pioneer, a seasoned member, then you can talk to some of these young guys that don't got it straight yet. They can't even see where you came from. Maybe you can share something with them to put them on track. Because the world is challenging them right now. They're being challenged right now, and they're being told the wrong things. But here you are with all that gold, man, with all of that knowledge and wisdom, with all the pearls and coral in your possession, and you don't give it to them, then you ain't did your job, dear brothers and sisters. It's very important that we understand that. And for our young guys coming up, if you don't respect those seasoned members, those pioneers, those brothers that have been there and made all the sacrifice, did all the heavy lifting, who gave their youth, then you on the wrong track as well. So you better listen. It's important. Your life depends on it. And so we talk about the historical mosque of Islamic Brotherhood, a place where everybody came from. When I was a young boy, I used to come by here. I couldn't get in because I didn't know the right words to say to get in the door. And so to come back today and see all of you who were probably here during that time, because at that time I was semi-lost, but I knew where the masjid was. And that just by knowing where the masjid was just enough for me, because it kept me on the path, despite all of the other things that was going on in Harlem and in the Bronx and Brooklyn and Queens. So we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. But there was some seasoned members that was there that was hipping to me what was going on, telling me, hey, man, you need to straighten up, man, because something get ready to happen if you don't. This is what you do. This is the direction you need to go in. And we need to offer that up because we're talking about the community of the Muslims. And so today we'd like to talk a little bit about our guest that's coming. Ramadan is coming, a time for appreciation. And we talk about this in this way because there are some very important tools that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves for us in the Quran. It ain't what I said. A lot of times, oh, we think it is about what some, you ain't got to listen to what I'm saying, but listen to what Allah is saying. Allah begins the verse about fasting by telling us, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Anywhere you see Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu in the Quran, pay attention because there's some very important information that's following it. And what important information comes after, oh, you have approved your faith in the past, who've been walking around here living Iman, who've been walking around living Islam. Allah is directing this information to you because this information is something that you need and will get you to where you need to go. Where are we trying to go? Jannah. I know we ain't trying to make it here. We can only get what the dunya has to offer here. But if we're trying to get to Jannah, then this information is very important information. It's key. So Allah makes it clear to us by giving us a code word. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. That's the catchphrase. Oh, ye who have believed in the past. Not just today, but yesterday, last week. Last year, you was a believer. You were proving your faith. You were living your iman. Amanu is a verb. It's not a noun. It's not mu'minun. It's a verb. So it's talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving us a hint that it's about what you do as opposed to what you just say. Didn't he say in the Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, lima talqulun ma la ta'falun? Oh, you believe, why do you say that what you do not do? Why are you saying what you're not about to do, man? Why are you running your mouth when your actions are not corresponding with it? Y'all want a better translation? Why you ain't walking it how you're talking? So Allah is telling us the important ingredients to our iman or getting on to where we need to go on this journey is our iman has to match what we're saying out of our mouth, man. Oh, you should be quiet. You shouldn't be declaring all this stuff. Don't tell me, I say, okay, you're going to be there, and you say, inshallah, but you know damn well you ain't going to be there. You already know you ain't coming, man. You might just tell me, hey, I ain't coming. I'll come holler at you next week sometime. I got something I got to do. But don't say, inshallah, brother, you already know you're not coming. That's not the proper uses of the term, inshallah. Inshallah is when I do everything I can to get there. And it's only by Allah's leave that I didn't make it. It's important that we understand the religion like that. The foundation of it. This religion is so easy, man. I remember our good brother Abdul Qadir, may Allah be pleased with him, Dixon from Masjid Taqwa, he used to tell me all the time, man, the easy route is to do what Allah said. That's the easy route. Why are you making it hard? You doing it another way. That's why you ain't getting there, because you're trying something else. It's important that we understand that. So when we talk in terms of this idea being presented, Ramadan is coming. Allah gives some useful hints in the verses concerning Ramadan. He tells us what our goal should be. Our first goal should be to develop our taqwa, to be more conscious of Allah's existence, about his presence, about him rewarding us or punishing us, rewarding us for good, punishing us for bad, that he is measuring how we handle each other, how we handle our money, where we go, who we be with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is observing all of this. So this is where taqwa comes in at. Why does Allah prescribe taqwa every year for us? Why does Allah take us back to school every year? Every year he takes us back to school. Every Ramadan is different. Some of you here that have been doing Ramadan for 50 years, and each one of them is different. Ain't none of them the same. Goals are the same, but they're all different. So when we look at this idea being presented, we find ourselves, Allah giving us another opportunity. Remember, you're sitting on the same rug where someone was sitting with us last year, but they're not sitting with us this year. What about that? Y'all want to keep it real? Y'all want to look at how real it can get? Well, that's how real it can get. So this is why this Ramadan becomes even more special for us. It becomes something that we're enthusiastic about. We're grateful to Allah that he had let us see it again. You look at all those people that don't, they have the ability to fast or recognize Allah, and they choose not to. How can you deny Allah when he gave you life when you were without life? This is what Allah says to us in the Quran. He asks us these very reasonable questions. Denying Allah is not asking for... Allah is not asking for too much when he's giving you so much. You think about it. Everything you have, Allah gave you. Everything you got, he's given you a sense of feeling, touch. He's given you reason. He's given you the age that you have. He's given you all of your experiences. He's tested you over and over again. And don't count the times in which he got you out of that jail. Don't count the times where it was almost over for you, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw it fit to give you another shot. This is Islam we're talking about. When we talk about taqwa, we're talking about something that the world needs. If they had taqwa, there would be no issue in the Ukraine right now. There would be no issue in Palestine if they had taqwa. If taqwa was the thing that was their motivation, you wouldn't have the Somalian situation. You wouldn't have the thing that's going on in the Congo. You wouldn't have our brothers and sisters suffering right there in Haiti. You wouldn't have all of the things that are going on in around the Muslim world, around the world, period. There would be no genocide in Palestine if the world had taught. So Allah knows that everybody's not going to get it. So he says, La'alakum tatakum, that maybe you would develop self-restraint. Maybe you would become more God-conscious. Maybe you would develop taqwa in your life. But that's why he gives us Ramadan, because he rewards it. He says, Ram fasting is for me, and I reward it. So this is a very important piece for us. So that first goal for us in Ramadan is to develop some level of self-restraint, God-consciousness. Why? Because that allows us to be able to function in a manner which is pleasing to him. It guards us. Taqwa is a shield. It says when we develop that, we protect ourselves against all of the things that society calls us to. As a Muslim, I'm not supposed to be following everything. As a Muslim, those things are supposed to be following me. As a Muslim, I'm not a servant of the dollar. The dollar serves me. We got it twisted, man. Shaitan got us missing Juma because we're making a few dollars. He got us praying for cars and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a car so we can get to the masjid. And when we get the car, we don't even come to the masjid. We're somewhere riding. But we ask Allah to give us that. We ask Allah to give us a good wife. He gives us a good wife, and we treat her bad. We ask Allah to give us a good husband. When he gives us a good husband, we treat him bad. And so this thing that Shaitan puts out there is twisted up. It turns it upside down, but with taqwa, it straightens it out. It allows us a foothold, a handle on it, so we can put a gauge on how much Shaitan can influence and how much he can't. We can turn him off. It's important that we understand how taqwa works. One of the companions of the Prophet asked another companion, to could he explain to him what taqwa was? And he said to him, have you ever walked through a narrow space that had thorns around it? And he said, yes. He said, how did you walk through it? He said, I walked through it without being plucked by not even one. He said, that's tough. To be in a situation where you can be affected by these things, but you're bobbing and weaving around it. You're getting around it. You see it there. You don't fall into it. But we have a problem in this society. Society is set up like this. We got Muslims over here, and we got the non-Muslims over there. But we have the Muslims falling into the things as if they were non-Muslims. This makes sense of it. You got taqwa. You don't have a right to fall into it because Allah armed you. He gave you what you need. So who are you to say, I did that because of such and such? No, you had everything you needed to protect you from that. So who are you going to blame? And there's no verse in the Quran where Allah says, be a perfect Muslim. Show me the ayah. He says, strive as though you're in a race toward all that which is good. This is why he prescribed fasting in the month of Ramadan, so that you can get better, so you can lead that, so you can keep moving forward, so that you don't keep looking back, so you can keep going forward. This is the message that Allah is giving us every year. He knows how the people are. He knows how society is. He knows how the influences are. We get so far away, somebody else got to come and get us and bring us back. And this is the heart of this message that Allah sent us through the Quran. This is a religion of hope, man. Not a religion of the hopeless. This is a religion of hope, man. So we can't get so dirty and say, well, I ain't going to the masjid because I done got so dirty, so I ain't going up there. Well, the masjid is there to clean you up. That's what it was for before. Don't you know? Y'all don't remember? I remember as a kid. As a kid, one day, I see a guy, he's in the gutter, nodding all over himself. A couple of weeks later, he's standing there with a brand new suit on. What motivated him? They want to discredit that message, but that message was the message that led most of us to Islam. But it cleaned him up. It told him how not to be a chump, how not to be serving things that mean him no good. You guys know what I'm talking about. That's the same Islam we're talking about. The Islam that cleans you up, man. That Islam, if you need money, then just practice your religion. You get all the money you need. Practice your religion, man. You talking about you need some bread? Practice your religion, man. You'll be all right. You'll be paid. I remember a time where I used to think that money was a big thing, man. And it's important. when I worked for Mr. Charlie, man, for a few years, man, I had never worked in my life. I was one of them hustling cats. And I'm not proud of none of that. But when I stopped doing all of that, when I got Islam, I said, well, you know, I can't release the Islam that Allah blessed me to have at this time in my life. So I'm going to go to work. I'm working 12 hours, sometimes 13, 6 days a week. Mr. Charlie ain't giving me nothing, man. 2 weeks come, I'm looking at the check like, where the money at, man? Then I transitioned to another job. Stayed there for about 3 or 4 years. And then one day, the light came on. I said, man, you know what, man? Mr. Charlie been playing you, man. So you get to go ahead and make a job. That was in 2011. I made a job ever since. Ever since, man. I work for myself. The masjid in the Bronx, they don't pay my salary, man. They don't take care of my bills. I work, man. But I was able to do that because I let my faith shape the way and manner in which I carry myself when it comes down to making some money. So now if I don't get it today, I'll probably get it tomorrow. If not, next week. But I'm not hurting to the point where I can't get it. So the reality is that when we have our iman in place, when we're striving in the cause, Allah will make a way for you, man. This is my point, that he will make a way for you, but you got to make a way toward him. You got to make a way toward him. He's going to make a way for you, but make a way toward him. We don't have it, but he has it. Now, how are you going to get it? Do what he loves. Inna Allah yuhibu alladhina yuqatiluna fi sabilihi. Sab'anka anahum bunyanin marasul. Surely Allah loves those who strive in his way as if they're a solid seeming structure. So now Allah says in verse 185, in the end of the verse, he begins the verse by talking about how Ramadan is a month in which the Quran was revealed, right? Guidance for mankind and a criteria, right? And he commands that he who was available, he should fast. So if he's sick on the journey, make it up by days later, right? Fidyatun, right? Or give feed someone, right? But in the end of the verse, Allah says, La'alakum tashkurun. La'alakum tashkurun. So perhaps you may, it's to celebrate the praises of Allah because he guided you. And perhaps, maybe, you will be appreciative. Maybe you will develop this attitude of gratefulness, of gratitude for what Allah gave you. Allah is telling you this around Ramadan. He's telling you this around fasting. He's telling you this for a reason, because this is another goal that we have during the month of Ramadan. First goal is to develop our God consciousness. The second one is to develop our level of appreciation. Think about it. We live in a society where we depreciate everything, right? The husband don't appreciate the wife don't appreciate the husband, the children don't appreciate the parents, right? A guy makes a little money, he don't appreciate that, so he's wasting it. He doesn't appreciate the fact that Allah has given him some freedom, so now he's running out there like he ain't got no sense. Allah's giving you all of this stuff, and we're showing that we don't appreciate that. We don't appreciate friendships. 1 week we could, next week I ain't talking to you. I've known you 20 years. You getting upset with me over something that's not even real. That it took that much, the 20 years of friendship that we had, it went out of the window over some small disagreement. You're not grateful that Allah gave me a companion that I can trust, somebody that's truthful, trustworthy, my friend. So we seek companionship somewhere else. We're not grateful for what Allah, the line that Allah put us in to have good friends. The Prophet said that the believers, he said that the people, the Muslims will follow the religion of their friends. So beware of who you choose for your friend. So we think we choose friends a lot too. We think we do. But Allah puts the guy right next to you. You don't know him today, and now you and him are buddy. That's what happens during Ramadan. You hang out with a brother the whole Ramadan. Next thing you know, you're wondering where the brother's at. When you get there, he ain't there. You're wondering where the sister's at. When you get there, they're not there. Because Allah allows you to develop a relationship as a result of you having the same mission. And that is the fast to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we appreciate that. So Allah tells us this during Ramadan as one of the goals of Ramadan. And we have to understand what Allah is saying to us here. We don't appreciate what he gave us. He said one of the things that he declares is that If you show appreciation, he will give you more. You love that. He declared that if you show appreciation, if you show gratitude, he will give you more. He will give you a whole lot more, man. You wonder why you have a little? Think about whether you appreciate what you got. You think about that. You think about whether you've done the right thing with what you already have. That way it'll keep you from wishing for something else. And until you work on showing appreciation for what you already have, you don't need to be looking at nothing else, man. You need to do something with what you have. Allow to give people knowledge. They take the knowledge and they use it for bad things. We give you a little crying and sooner you want to argue all the time. How are you using that as a means to appreciate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You want to impress somebody? Go talk to them hard heads on the corner. You want to complete somebody? Go talk to those guys that don't have Islam. You want to put some energy in it? You want to argue? Go argue with them. Why are you in a place where we're making prostration, where we're trying to just stay in the masjid? But yet you want to run people out. You don't appreciate me, man? Don't you want from me what I want for myself? And if you do, then you would want me to stay. Because you want to stay. So why you don't want me to stay? Why when I come in, you got an attitude now? You ain't talking. What kind of Islam is that, man? Was that the sunnah of the Prophet Islam? Are we really appreciating the Prophet Islam and his example? How so when we choose to do something that we want to do as opposed to doing what he wants us to do? His example. Appreciation for the example of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Appreciation for the Quran itself. You make a decision, you don't go to the Quran, you go and you ask your boy, ain't even Muslim. Yeah, but just go down and do that there, man. You know, you get it out of the way, man. Yeah, you're right, man. But the Quran says something else. You done listened to Joe Neckbone and got you damned up now. They're looking for you. So the reality is that you have to show appreciation for what Allah gave you. How do you do that? By using it. By using it. When we look at society and the things that society has placed in front of us, and we watch it on the news, and we see what pop culture is. Pop culture today, dear brothers and sisters, is another form of taghut. Taghut is everything against Allah's will. So they make all this noise about the LGBTQ community. They make all this noise about being transgender and being a neuter gender and being don't want to be who you are. But you know what that is? You know what that really is, dear brothers and sisters? It's actually an example of how you didn't appreciate what Allah made you as. You want to be something else, man. Why don't you appreciate how Allah made you? See, this is the whole problem that we have. Society, and they begin to promote things that are against the natural order on which Allah has already intended it to be. You don't want to be who Allah made you. Why you don't like how he made you, man? He made you a man. Why you don't like him but like being a man? Why you don't like your broad shoulders, man? Why you don't want to be the woman that he made you to be? Why do you want to be something else? Because you don't appreciate how Allah made you. Why are you bleaching your skin, man? You don't like the way Allah made you? You don't appreciate the black skin that you got? You don't appreciate that the melanin that Allah blessed you to have? You don't appreciate that? So they sell thousands of pounds of this every year around the world. People from the African nations. Because you don't appreciate the skin tone Allah gave you. Why are you doing all of that, dear brothers and sisters? And this is the question. Why don't you appreciate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he gave you all of these things? He gave you the will to be upright. Why you don't like being upright? Why you got to be honest? Why you lying all the time? Why you can't be honest, man? Everybody likes an honest person. They don't like no lying. They know you're lying. Right? But the religion of Islam is saying that it's there to improve you. So the appreciation is very important for us. See, it's on all levels, man. Why are you running in there doing that, man? Why are you robbing banks, man? Allah don't need nothing. You talking about I'm going to just so I can get some sedica. Nah, man. Go work at the store, man. Or go make a job. You'll spend less time in the penitentiary if you make it back out. Don't you know that the guys that they're running around that's in the penitentiary, they didn't appreciate their freedom? And they're doing knucklehead stuff. They're not doing stuff that's rational. When I was growing up, we would see brothers that's in there for some real serious stuff. There were guys that were sitting in there
as freedom fighters. They weren't just throwing a brick, man. They was fighting for the people, man. Some of you know who I'm talking about, man. We just lost one, but we have so many of them throughout the years. And they were sacrificing. Why? Because they appreciated who Allah made them to be. And we have to get back to that. So this idea of the month of Ramadan being a month of appreciation, to develop that, to redevelop that as a goal, is very important to us. It's about more than you appreciating the fact that you got an extra $100 this week. It's about more than that. I go to the hospital sometimes to visit one of our sisters who has a mate that didn't appreciate them. He whipped the sister so bad, she went into a coma. And so she's been in there for about a year and a half. So I go up there, saddest place to be because there are other people there. So I go up there, I don't know the sister, but that's my sister's laying there. No, I don't know where the guy is. I hope I never find out because he didn't go to jail. He left her there at the hospital and went off into the sunset. Right? So he's out there somewhere, but he ain't, you know how that goes. Right? And so when I get up there, and she's opening her eyes, we're reciting the Quran and Assalamu alaikum. She's opening her eyes and closing her eyes, and that's the only reaction. But there's some brain function there. There's some brain function, right? Here it is, a person that's there, and they don't have the ability to respond as if they were in a normal situation. But yet at the same time, we have people that are properly functional. And they're out there pushing people on the train. They're out there getting drunk all night. They're out there smoking K2. They're out there doing all of this stuff, right? They stole that girl lamps out the house, right? They're breaking into stuff. And they have the ability to do other things with their life. Allah has given you hearing, sight. He's given you, he's given you the ability to walk upright. Many of us are in a situation where we can't even walk upright no more. But Allah has given us that. So many of us that are of age, and some of us that are up there in age, and we're standing strong, man. And we're going, we're walking up the stairs, we're doing all of that. And we're not grateful for that? We're not grateful to have our minds filled to be able to discern from right and wrong, to be able to speak clearly? We're not grateful for that? We're not grateful for being able to have our family still here, to have children that are following in Islam. We're not grateful for that? We're not grateful to have grandchildren or even see great-grandchildren that are in your midst and who are relying on you to show them the right thing. But you choose not to show them that. Why? Because if you're not grateful, we got to be grateful, man. When someone says the salams, I don't care who it is, I turn around, I'm grateful, man. I heard assalamu alaikum on the street. Assalamu alaikum. I go on the street, assalamu alaikum. You look at me like I got five heads. What did I do wrong? All I did was say the salams, man. Why are you cheap with the salams? Why are you stingy with the salams, man? What, my salam ain't that good? I ain't got a throw water? My beard's not long enough? What is it, man? Because I said assalamu alaikum, you look at me like I offended you, and then you tell me how you doing. But the salams, it's not yours, man. It's not yours, man. Some of us get mad. We greet each other when we return the greeting. The angels frowning at us. But the salams themselves is not yours. The salams, you're saying Allah's name. How is that yours? It ain't mine, man. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. This is about appreciating brotherhood. The Prophet ﷺ said that you will not believe. He said you will not enter paradise until you believe, and you will not believe until you have what? Love for one another. He said, how do you do that? He said, by spreading the salam. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. I appreciate being Muslim. Assalamu alaikum. I appreciate being Muslim, man. I don't want to be nothing else. Why would I want to be something else? They're listening to idiots out there. How am I listening to that? How am I choosing to be with that? Why am I seeking acceptance there? We should be seeking acceptance from amongst ourselves. Maybe it's meant for us to love each other, man, and appreciate each other. Work with each other. Why we ain't getting it, man? Why don't we appreciate the ummah that we should be appreciating? Why is it like that, dear brothers and sisters? Why are the sisters fighting each other? Why are the brothers fighting each other? Why this masjid not talking to that masjid? How is it that we're so separate when we're supposed to be together? Because we don't appreciate what we have. There's no way we say we got the same thing, but yet we don't like each other. You got the same thing I got, man. So we're not appreciating it for some reason or another. Allah is in control of all of this. He can wipe this thing out. And we acting like we got all day. So appreciation, dear brothers and sisters, during the month of Ramadan is one of our goals, but there should be a primary focus on this idea so that we can go forward and establish the deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commissioned us to establish. Because you came in, your job now is iqamatul deen, to establish the deen. Istiqama is your job right now. No matter how old you are, you should be an example for developing Islam. No matter where you are, no matter where you be, who you be with, no matter where you're from, what language you speak, you Muslim, that's your job. And appreciate that. Because those are the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these are they on whom bestow his grace, whose portion is not wrath, and who go not astray. Assalamu alaikum. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم الحمد لله رب العالمين. The third ayah, we have 183, Surah 2, 185, and then Surah 2, 186. And in 186, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers the question of the believers. He says, when my servant asks you concerning me, tell him that I'm near. I respond to the supplication of the suppliant when he calls upon me. But let him at the same time respond to my call and believe in me so that they may walk in the right way. La'alahum yarshudun. Allah says, La'alahum yarshudun. The third goal. The third goal is to develop guidance, irshad, guidance during the month of Ramadan. By doing what? Reading the Quran. You read the Quran for 30 days, there's a good chance that you're going to come out of there with something. You're going to be working with a little something. You focus on the reading, it's practical knowledge. You take the practical stuff, you make an application of it, and then you go and you do the work. You can't read the Quran and not decide that this is the message that requires that you just sit back. It requires, when you read it and you study it and you get the practicality of it, what happens is you don't have to be an Arabic scholar. You don't need to get it all. You can work with just Al-Fatiha and go out there and produce some stuff. You can work with a whole lot. I remember one time in my life, I was out there making a stand. All I had was Al-Fatiha, man. But man, did it work wonders. All I had was Al-Fatiha. That's all I had. And I was up against everything, man. But I had Al-Fatiha, man. And that's what brought me back. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawmiddin. Just that, and it helped me through. But imagine having the whole Quran. You don't need it all, but you need to have the structure. Your structure should come from this. So reading it throughout the 30 days should help you develop that so that when you have an issue, your motivation is going back to the Quran and trying to find out how I can solve this problem. The religion of Islam is resolution orientated. You, because you're a follower of that, should be resolution orientated. You shouldn't want to continue conflict. You should cut it off right then and there. I shouldn't have to be going back and forth with you. I'm not going to do that with you. The Quran will help you stand up in a time where most of the time you would probably sit down. It will allow you to stand up. And it will allow you to get to the places that you've never been. And in order for you to get to where you've never been, you got to do some things that you've never done. And one of those things is that allowing the Quran to be a motivation in your life. 30 days starts it out. Usually after 30 days, it becomes a habit. You go to the masjid, y'all know every year, y'all been through here before. Ramadan is over. The first night of Shawwal, you're looking around because you're trying to figure out what's missing here. Oh, man, let me just go back to the masjid. You get to the masjid, oh, where's everybody at? Right? When it becomes a habit for you, it becomes something that you develop into. And so the last goal is just to have some guidance. So, but the appreciation is something. one thing on appreciation before we close out, and that is the appreciation of the leaders of the Muslims. We should appreciate our leadership as Muslims. We shouldn't be so quick to want to curse out the imam. We want to curse out the brothers that's serving in the masjid. We're ready to curse them out because we don't like something. We don't think about the hard work that the imams put in. We don't think about the sacrifices they make. And one of the masjids that come to mind immediately is Masjid of Islamic Brotherhood, your leader, Imam Talib al-Hajj Talib Abdul Rashid. And so I want you to keep him in your du'as. I want you, brothers, when he comes back, inshallah, to get behind him and help him in every area that he needs help so he doesn't be overworked. I'm counting on y'all to do that, man. I'm counting y'all to help my uncle, man. I need y'all to do that. I really need y'all to do that, man. I need y'all to make yourselves available, man. I need you, brothers. You brothers are soldiers, man. But your general needs your help, man. So you guys can continue building this thing, man. Don't disappoint us, man. Don't let us down, man. Y'all been holding this thing for years. But now it's time for you to go ahead and do a little bit more. And it's not a lot. Just do a little bit more. Be a little mindful that your imam is aging and that to help and assist him will be better for you in the community. And it's not all about any of that other stuff. We're a reality-based community. The Quran is our reality. It's a base, our life on life terms. Know for sure that there are so many imams that we can think about in the past that they left on their post, man, and they were ran into the ground. Make it easy on the imam. Start by making dua for him. Start by assisting those who we commission. If he doesn't commission you, assist those who we commission. Don't argue with them. Don't waste their time. Don't burn them out. The masjid is supposed to be a place that's thriving. It shouldn't be a place that we're just waiting for one thing to happen after another, and now we're picking ourselves up from here. No, man. Hit the ground running and stay that way. But make sure you motivate each other and help each other. And lastly, make sure y'all show the love, man. May Allah help us to that, we say, I mean. ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم صل على محمد والمرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين. أقيموا الصلاة.
Let's thank Allah for his khutbah delivered by our visiting Imam Abdul Aziz from Master Adams in Bronx, and may Allah protect and reward him by him. Next, we continue to make dua for all of our sick and recovered brothers and sisters, including Elder Atullah Abdul Noor, Taluk Abdul Hakim, and his wife Aisha, Dr. Amir Al Islam, and also Brother Ronald Kent. Also, Sister Taliba Reed, Dr. Olima Tulay, and Sister Sabra Abdullah, Sister Fahija Ayubi, also our brother Abdul Wakil's wife Janice. We pray as well for all the sick and suffering throughout the country and the world. May Allah give them all recovery within us. We continue might have still in the winter flu, pneumonia, COVID, and RSV season, so be cautious. Masks are available at the security station for those that wish them, and our hospital quality hand sanitizer dispensers are secured in the walls of both the rainbow cellar and the Hamid. Now please give your attention to our associate imam, Dr. Mikael Abdullah.
Alhamdulillah. But the announcement is always about the summer. And after Jummah, inshallah, those people that have expressed an interest in staying at the Hajj, I need to stay and talk to you guys. Among the other things we want us to do is to prepare for Ramadan, part of the preparation that we provided those folks. The Imam Talib, inshallah, wanted to have a safari restaurant downstairs. It's costly. And so what I suggest is that we only try to take on the weekend, just for a start. And that would be roughly about $400 a night. I'm going to do one night. Usually we ask people for a night. You know, that's going to make a spot. So I'm going to do one night. Inshallah, I know we collect some money from other want to kind of at least begin to secure food for people. No benefits of that that comes from providing food. So we're going to start with that. Brother, and see, Brother Hamadi, for those one or two people who may wish to get together and provide veterans out supporting out, then we may think about other nights. Some bigger people need access to market weekend, so we're going to start with that. In addition to that, we encourage this brother to always talk about, you know, how to live, and so on. Again, we're not getting anyone, but no content that we like to follow. So inshallah, give and know that the giving that you do give is an investment. The Allah Ta'ala always has among the friends. The Allah Ta'ala do know that he made it pain. So don't think that giving is for food. Inshallah, we are giving what has been given. And in keeping with what the Iman says, you know, ingratitude is involved. We need to understand that we need to demonstrate our gratitude for all that is our support. But thank you. A thousand dollars. I said, I'm with it.
Once again, brothers and sisters, DP, dear Castle, I'm connected here. As you enter the text, the word give is GIVE to 347-973-4352. Note that the sisterhood is still selling Islamic calendars downstairs in the lobby, so please purchase one. Lastly, for those watching at home, we encourage you now to place a lot to the door there as we place a lot to Juma here at the Masjid. And note that the Adhan Salatul Asr will be at 3:15 and the Salah will be at 3:30, inshallah. Shukran. Assalamu alaykum. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. This is only talking to the source of the Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahmanir Rahim, Malik Yawm al-Din. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والسماء والطارق والماء أدراك ما الطارق النجم الثاقب إن كل نفس لما عليها حافظ فينظر الإنسان مما خلق خلق مما إن دافق يخرج من بين الصلب والضرائب إنه أن رجعه لقادر يوم تبلى السرائر فما له من قوة ولا نصير والسماء ذات الرجع والأرض ذات الصدر إنه لقول فصل ما هو بالغزر إنهم يركدون كيدا وأكلوا كيدا فماهل الكافرين أبهلهم رويدا. سمع الله لمن حامدا. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها وقال الإنسان ما لها يومئذ تحدث أخبارها بأن رباك أولى لها يومئذ يسر الناس واستعطال يروع مالهم ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة خير يرى ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شر يرى الله أكبر. سمي الله لمن حمده الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
There in Bronx, New York, and he's of the Islamic Brotherhood, and we are thankful for the message from today. As they're connecting now with one another, as the sociability occurs, we want to remind everyone that tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Community Developmental Stages, tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., Eastern Standard Time, 6 a.m., Central Coast Time and Pacific Coast Time, 4 a.m., with Imam Kareem Hamid for, excuse me, Evolution of Revolutionary Thought and Creative Purpose. Come prepared, you request, please come prepared with your pen and pad so that you can take down information that you hear from the Imam Warsdeen Muhammad, Rahim Allahu Lay, mercy of Almighty God be upon him, and you may be able to share and how that is influencing in your life. Currently, then at 7 to 9:30 a.m. and then 9:30 to 11 a.m. is Imam Blaise Uma with recurring guest Rabbani Muhammad, Professor Rabbani Muhammad, and engineer and co-host is Michael Hameen. And they share from preparing to make it in the land of plenty. So you want to connect with that. And then 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 11 a.m. Already in progress will be our connection and collaboration with A New Day for Al-Islam with William Kareem, Executive Director, and his various hosts. But he will be presenting an interview with various artists, and then we go into education on of how the influence, the good of it, hip-hop, reform and help recondition the makeup and the thinking here in America and all over the globe, how it has influenced many, many people all over the globe. And we want to take the best thereof. So William Kareem's son, Kevell Ikwan, will be hosting that part of it called Quick Hitters from 12 to 1. So 11 to 12 is an interview with artists that William Kareem presents. And then Kevell Ikwan, and sometimes his brother, Bill Blass, who has his new, CD out. So you want to participate? Please join us 11 to 1. And then 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Abdul Hadi, and she comes with Al-Islam in Focus. Oh, and I didn't mention the title with William Kareem. It is Cultural Insights. The whole presentation is under Cultural Insights. All right? And then Al-Islam in Focus, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Okay, so now today, going on forward, if you have any questions or comments before we share a topic from Imam Warsdeen Muhammad, Rahimullah, who lays archived information that we love to share with you, please press 1 on your phone and we will hear from you. If you have any questions or comments that you'd like to share. At this particular time, I'm currently in Pompano Beach, Florida, Martha Naila Abdullah. I'm in Pompano Beach, Florida, and a beautiful masjid that is right up the street from where my mother lives. I'm visiting here with her and also attending a janazah for a dear friend, longtime family friend, one of the siblings that I grew up with. But praise be to Almighty God that this masjid in Pompano Beach, Florida, just in conversation with certain brothers here and one in particular, Ismail Qadar. He knows different ones throughout the country. And so he sends greetings, too, to Imam Abdulaziz, if you're hearing this, Ismail Qadar. And he's very much aware and working with the economics. So he and I are going to be in conversation while I'm here. Praise be to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala definitely is in charge. Very, very, very good and timing only Allah could provide. All right, so we're going to go now to listen to, and this, everyone, as we just come out of February, but we continue with the life as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have it for the development that we all can learn from. So as Imam is going to be speaking on the African-American issues, I had some young ladies, sisters here from Palestine. I met one from Syria and another from Bosnia. And, you know, they understand. We had a conversation and they understand the predicament that occurs in the life of all of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one we turn to as we help one another. And we certainly know that Imam Warsdeen Muhammad, rahimahullah, said that anyone who wants to learn how to deal with circumstances and turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, study the African-American history, all right, of here in America. All right, dear listeners, seeing no takers on pressing one, we go to our presentation for today from Imam Warsdeen Muhammad after public service announcement. Wants you to remember Kishan on this end with the scholarships, all right, scholarships and the establishment of credit union with Graceline Federal Credit Union. And always join us. Go to cwsc.us and you'll see the little circle that says join CWSC. There's a lot of work for all of us to take part in. All right. And just a moment. And then this is the first Sunday coming up that we want to remember.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Omar Shakir, and I'm resident imam of Masjid Bilal Ibn Rabah in San Antonio, Texas. And I would like to invite you every first Sunday from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time to join us for our class where we're dealing with the subject matter of the basics in Islam. We are excited about this program, even if we're new Muslims or Muslims that have been in the faith for many, many years. It is a wonderful opportunity to learn and understand this beautiful way of life. We also connected with various insights from the tafsir of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad radiallahu anhu, and we all explain its practical application. We look forward to being with you on every first Sunday of the month where we would deal with the basics of Islam. The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Nirmat Shaheed, restorative justice practitioner for the Oakland Unified School District and host on AM 360's The Pearls of Women Quranic Mondays. We're asking you to help us make a difference in the life of a student. We need you to spread the word that CWSC is offering 5 college scholarships in the form of direct financial aid to students who qualify and are graduating from high school this year or current college students. Learn more and apply online today at cwsc.us. But hurry, the deadline for applications is June the 20th. Thank you for helping secure our next generation's intelligentsia. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Kareem Hamid, radio station manager for American Muslim 360 Radio, inviting all hosts to the upcoming host meeting scheduled this Saturday from 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Assalamu alaikum.
Imam W.D. Muhammad is the head of a ministry called the Mosque Cares and the former leader of the American Society of Muslims. He spoke this weekend at the annual National Islamic Convention.
Thank you.
This is an hour.
We praise God. We praise God. We say God is greater. God is greater. We praise God with the expression, God is greater. Peace be unto you. The greetings of our religion in the Muslim world is Assalamu alaikum. I just saluted my captain. We always begin with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We thank him for our presence here. We thank him for another convention in the city of Chicago at this pavilion. And we thank him for keeping our hearts and our minds in the right place. We thank him for giving us the courage to be different, years ago when it was very unpopular to be a Muslim in the city of Chicago. We thank him for making it possible for us to continue our life from a child's circumstances, from a child, little baby's circumstances, till today when we have circumstances in these United States and in this Chicago favoring that little baby surviving and growing up to be a fine man with dignity and honor as a producer contributing to the society and also to the Muslim life. This is what I see when I look back into the road of our strivings as a community of poor people under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and in 1975, February of 1975, I began the effort to carry you further into the road to our establishment. Bringing with us that was to live, and separating myself from that was to die. And I thank the Lord, creator of the skies and the earth and everything, and people, his special creation. I thank him for the good brothers and sisters who will never turn around and go back to the dark days. You know, I see shea butter as a basket put on the river. We're going to float it right down to Pharaoh's kingdom. And it's going to be picked up by the lady of the house. We have a lot to be happy about. We have a lot to feel good about. In fact, there's much more. In spite of the bad times that we're living, economically, politically, the political climate is not too good in the world I'm speaking of, not just in the United States. The political climate in the world is not good, bad. The economic climate here is not what most Americans can feel good about. We want it to get better. The moral climate here in America is terrible. Terrible. Very, very ugly. When we see our public behaving as though they never had any moral life in them ever. It's terrible. But we find that there's always a number of the people that are not taken down by the bad things that a bad time brings. There's a number always that won't give up their moral life, no matter how popular it is, to give up your moral life. There are always those who are industrious by nature. They love work, and their souls call for work, and they will never be idle. They will never accept unemployment. They will work for themselves if their factory shuts down that they were working for. They will never be out of work. So God has made man special. God has made the human being very special. He cannot be destroyed by what man does, even though man, knowing the unknowing, may take up the plan of the Satan, the devil himself, and give the way of the devil freedom to take over the lives of families and neighborhoods by letting his schemes be established over our life or in our lives. But there are always a few, Christians and others. I have known Christian neighborhoods, no liquor stores here, and they were so united that they were able to keep liquor stores out of their neighborhoods. They didn't want liquor stores because liquor stores bring other things that they don't want and other people that they don't want, who care nothing about life, care nothing about civilization, care nothing about morality, and they didn't want that disease in their neighborhoods, in their Christian neighborhoods, so they organized and put enough pressure on the governments, on the town office, to keep the church, keep the community, the neighborhood for the church, save it for the church, and keep the taverns out. My heart goes to Christians like that. I'm with them, and I just hope that one day we will see the common good, the common interest for righteous people, for people fearing God and wanting their life to please their Lord Creator. I'm hoping that the day will come when we will not see people struggling to save environment for their life that they want, and we Muslims will look at them and, oh, those are Christians. No, we will say those are our people. Those are people of our souls and people of our spirit. That's what I'm hoping for. We Muslim leaders, we talk about what we're supposed to do. We talk about we shouldn't allow liquors and be on our table. We should keep halal word, and Jewish for the Jews is kosher. We should keep our life halal, keep our homes halal, our food halal, keep all of this halal. But you see another person out there struggling to keep the neighborhood you live in, and you just two on the block. The neighborhood belonged to them, and you see them struggling to make it a decent neighborhood, and you just ignore what they're doing. You don't identify with their suffering, with their concerns. You don't identify with their work. You are not a part of it. You act as though you are from Jupiter or Mars or somewhere, and you just walk right by them and walk right away from what they're doing, as though it's forbidden for you to join the good work to make the place better for human life under God. We can't continue to do that. That won't work. The state of the world is not good at all. I believe we're living in the end of time. The end of time as prophesied. Not the end of time for the natural system created by God. Not the end of time for the sun that rises that we all know. Not the end of time for the night that comes and the day that comes. No, we'll still have night and day. Not the end of time for trees and plants and other things and animals that we love and the rivers and whatever that we love and the beautiful life that grows upon the earth. Not the end of time for that. The end of time according to prophecy. The end of time for man to go away from the calling of his best nature. I repeat, the calling of his best nature, which is there because God made human beings for that best nature. God didn't make us for the foolishness. He didn't make us for the nasty life that some of us love to live. He made us for the best that is in human nature. And our religion stresses the best. God says to us in the Quran, he gives us the Quran. The Quran is a history. The Quran is a teaching, a guidance, but it is also history. So we will read about how other people live when you read the Quran. Those that were good and those that were not good. We read about the destruction of the corrupt ones. We read all of this. And if we are not careful while reading, if our appetites are corrupt, we'll be reading and thinking we are reading guidance, and we'll be reading warnings against pitfalls. And we'll be thinking we'll be reading guidance. We'll be reading of a people who are proud and boastful while doing wrong things. And we will lose the full picture, and we will think that our God is saying that it's okay to be that way. I know persons who have fallen victim to that. They'll be reading something and think that's to be applied to Muslim life. Muslims are supposed to be like that, boasting. When if they would read it clearly and keep the connections, read it in the proper connections, read it with the proper connections and in the right context, they would clearly understand that this is not what God wants for us or for human beings. This is what God is condemning. And they take it and they become believers in what is not Islam, thinking that it is Islam. So God says to us in the Holy Book, speaking of addressing the contents of the book, he said, and take the best thereof. Science says that life advances because it's selective. It doesn't feed on that will corrupt it, deform it, destroy it. It looks for the better food. And in selecting the better food, it continues to grow and develop. And it looks for the best environment. You think a bird will put its nest anywhere? It looks for the best environment. Even a low animal looks for a clean place to start a family. So selective. God speaks to our nature, the better nature in us, and says, and take the best thereof. God says of the Quran, the book has been made allegorical with metaphors, with pictures, with words that say one thing and make a common person see one thing, but it is addressing something entirely different. Something different, entirely different. But using these pictures to get our attention in hopes of us learning how to translate the pictures into the language that we are supposed to read and understand, for understanding. So God says the book had been made allegorical and basic. Listen carefully. And basic. The basic teachings are the plain language teachings that any ordinary person with the ability to read or to listen to language and understand can understand. But the book is also allegorical, difficult to understand, even by educated people, if they are not experienced or used to hearing the language of Scripture. Experienced in or used to hearing the language of Scripture. So, and God continues, he says, and those in whose hearts is a disease, they prefer the allegorical over the plain teachings. That's why we have so much un-Islamic behavior in the Muslim world. We leave the common sense, plain teachings and take up that we think gives us the freedom to do wrong in the name of righteousness. When we look at the world, I'm a lover of nature. I've traveled a lot because of the good situation I'm in as your leader. I've traveled a lot, plains, fly over mountains. So I see mountain tops that many people will never see from my neighborhood. I see mountain tops. And I love science, so I read about mountains too. There are mountains that are old and worn out. No place for the skiers to have their fun skiing on the icy tops, icy slopes, worn out. No vegetation growing on them, like a bald-headed old man. Nothing there to attract anybody. No water flowing down from the melting ice to form rivers, new rivers to attract animals and other life and make fertile basins or fertile land on each side of the river, like the River Nile, that comes down from the mountains of Ethiopia and flow down and cut through the land, leaving a picture behind that resembles the form of a snake. No rivers. Most of the governments of the world today offer no spiritual support, no spiritual help to the soul and spirituality of their people. Don't think of the physical mountains out there somewhere in the geography of this earth, in Asia or Africa or somewhere, Europe. See this as a description of something that is in your own life, a mountain that is in your own makeup. And then look outside and see if you can find the world having something that you want, like that you want in yourself, established to serve people in the world. You know, water is a fascinating, very fascinating thing, water. Science describes it as H2O, gases that in a certain combination become liquid water. hydrogen 2 gas, and I know because I'm a welder, I've used hydrogen and oxygen in my work. Hydrogen 2 and oxygen 1, H2O. Those two gases, the molecules of them, they come together and form what all life must have, water. And God says in the Quran, also in the Bible, in different language, maybe different words, maybe in different context too, but it's there. All life began in water. All life began in water. You know, a human being is a very special flesh. A very special flesh belonging to the flesh that God made. Because God made the sheep flesh. God made the goat flesh and many other animals flesh. And God made many low creatures flesh. Worms flesh, huh? He made us flesh. But we are very special flesh. When we hurt, water comes down from our sky. From the mountain, water comes down. It rolls down our cheek. And we don't have to be sad for water to come down. We can be so happy. Water come down from the eyes of the mountain and roll down our cheek. And God says in our Holy Quran, the same as in the Bible, again, maybe in a different context, different language, different context, but it's there. Said it is God that created you. It is your creator that created the sky and the earth and the trees and everything. The one that created you, he created you to have laughter and tears. God created you to have that. So if this is mentioned in scripture, then it is mentioned because this is very special and unique for human beings that we cry tears of sadness and tears of joy and tears of joy. Now, if no rivers are coming down from the mountain, what has happened? There are no feelings anymore. No rivers coming down? No feelings anymore. Allah says in the Quran, and there are some rocks that are shaken and they open a split and release water. Water comes from them. Rock hardening. So when our leadership, our leaders and our leadership become so hardened that they can't feel the suffering of the society, can't respond to the needs of the suffering souls in the society. They have become dried up, maybe, like that bald-headed mountain that I saw from the plain. Or maybe there is water, but it just kept up in the top of the mountain. It has hardened and nothing has heated it up. But we know people like Dr. King, many before him and after him, they had the power to speak and warm up the climate and cause the ice to melt in the government, in the top of the mountain and roll down as rivers, so we can have new life and beauty on the land. Yes, we know that. Yes. Allahu Akbar. No, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Are you hearing me all right out there? What about back in the, all the way back? Yes. Yes, they're hearing. I have almost as many years as he is old experience talking into mics. Praise be to God. Now, why is water so important in religion? I've mentioned already that God says every living thing had its beginning in water. And we know it's important to the church. In the church rituals, the water is important. Important to Muslims in our worship, and especially on the Hajj, the yearly trip we make to the holy house, the common house of all people, called Bayt al-Ula, or Bayt, the first house built for mankind in the worship of God. It's not talking about the water we drink. The water we drink is just a symbol, a picture, a sign of the water in our own human makeup, in our psyche, in the human soul and psyche, in the human feelings and concerns. That's the water. That's the real water. That's the real water, you see. And just as water makes us feel better, even spiritually, when we are sweaty or dirty, and we get into that shower, and that water begins to work on that filth and sweat, oh, you feel so good, you run the water bill up. Don't want to come out of the shower. So God has created the world without to speak to us of the world within. And the world without is the sign. The world within is the real life. And God has made the world without to support the good life we want within, as long as it doesn't become corrupt or too polluted or too confused, getting away from the laws that God intended. It serves us well. We're living in a time, I said, that I believe to be the fulfillment, the time of the fulfillment of prophecy. God says, unto me, you all must return. That's what God says. He says he created us from one soul. That means we had one spiritual origin. One spiritual origin. We come from one spiritual life, our Father. And we all are one in that spiritual life. And we may choose to go against that spiritual life that God intended for us. And we may take on spirits that will be working against the true human spirit that God created for us. But God said, and you'll go your separate ways, and you will make your problems for each other. But one day, you all have to return. Now, looking again at water as a symbol, as a message to us, of what's in the soul or psyche of human person. The water in the mountaintops, I'm a student of science, too. I love science. I'm not a scientist. I think I might be a little bit somewhat of a scientist. But I know I'm a student of science. I've loved it ever since I learned. I read the first book or had the teacher tell me the first thing about science. I loved it. I've been a student of science. But anyway, I've learned that rivers come from mountaintops. Would you think that? You wouldn't think that. Science have to tell us these things. Or someone who have experienced, walked on up in the mountains and been around the mountain enough to see what happens, would tell us those things. The ice in the top of the mountain when it melts, it runs down the mountain and it forms rivers. The Nile River, as I mentioned earlier, is formed in a high mountain in Ethiopia. And the water comes down, I don't know, it's just millions of years old. We don't know how old it is, you know. Formed the river called the River Nile, which is said to be the longest river on earth. And that river is two colors according to the African people. Ethiopian people, I think it's white. And I believe, or blue, I'm not sure. But when it passes through Egypt, it's a different color. I believe the white Nile is from Ethiopia, and the blue Nile is Egypt. I'm not sure. I'm not sure of the color now. But I'm sure that there are two colors. They call it white Nile and blue Nile. Longest river on the earth. And the whole Egyptian people, were dependent on the Nile for their economy, their food supply, and their economy. Because the Nile would bring fertile earth from other places, at the same time giving the land water, keeping the land watered from other places, and the river runs, so the river washes the fertile soil to both sides and keeps the land fed with the water so that more things can grow along the banks of the Nile. And the river alone, as I said, supplies them with food, produce, enough to sustain the life. And at one time, according to biblical history, at one time Egypt was the breadbasket for the whole world, for the whole known world, that people came from all over. And the story of Joseph tells us that. Joseph was sold into slavery by his own people, his own brothers. And we end up being discovered by the rulers that he was there. They discovered him because the word was getting around that Joseph was a seer. He could see the future. So the country was beginning to enjoy bad times, being threatened, and the Pharaoh wanted to bring him up, the ruler, bring him up to him and talk to him and see what he thought of what was happening to his rule. So he liked him so well, he made him, took him in, and the Pharaoh's wife, the big lady, fell in love with him. They put him over the storehouses. They put him in charge of the distribution of food and goods. So that tells us that at one time, according to Scripture, Egypt had become so productive in food products and other things too, that people were coming from distant lands in hopes of getting some food or some help from Egypt. Now, you know, America is like a modern Egypt. Yes? It has this high mountain, and it has its Nile River, and it has this Joseph sold into slavery. And today, Joseph is about to be put over the storehouse. And he's going to be kind to his brothers who sold him into slavery. When When the brothers of Joseph came in bad times to Egypt that was doing well to get some rations, some help, when they saw Joseph, they thought, oh, it's hopeless now. Egypt got him over the storehouse. We sold him into slavery. But they found him to be just what they didn't expect. They found him to be a brother, didn't charge suffering his suffering brothers with the crimes. He ignored the crime. He put that crime aside, and he gave them help. Wonderful story, a beautiful story. But it's not just a story of Jews or of Arabs or of African Americans or blacks. It's the story of every people who suffers such thing occurring in the life of that people to make them slaves or helpless in the society of other people. Physical slavery made us helpless like that. But after we were physically free, mental, as Mr. Farad said, mental slavery or mental debt put us in a bad situation like that, where we could not make it on our own, stayed down, couldn't get up, even though a few of us had the strength to try to get up and did get up. Majority of us did everything to see that they failed, that they did not succeed. That's because mentally we are dead. Not dead. Your mind, works to know what time it is when you wake up in the morning to look at the clock, or look at out the window and say, "Hey, sun has gotten up." You know, you're not dead to those kind of things. You can function that way. But when it comes to knowing where your heart should be, you're dead. When you go out of your house and leave your wife, I don't care if she fusses at you every time you come in the house. You go out of the house and leave your wife with children that need your presence. And you turn your back on the wife and the house of children because of sexual desire for another woman that you met. Your heart is dead. Your heart is dead to the social life, the family life that God made for you. Your heart is dead to it. When you walk out of your neighborhood that ain't got a African-American business anywhere in sight, and you drive your car 5 gallons of gas away from your neighborhood. 5 gallons of gas away from your neighborhood. Way to the northwest side somewhere. To some white person's store. Or a store operated by another people, not your people. Your heart is dead. Now, there is in the Bible, says, as a man thinketh in his heart, as a man thinketh in his heart. So we shouldn't just think with our rational ability. If you want to think as a human should be thinking, you should be thinking with your moral life in touch with what you're thinking, with your moral life sensitivities in touch with your thinking. You should be thinking with your human interests in touch with your thoughts. You should be thinking with your wife and your children. Interest at heart. So much at heart that if you think something against their interest, it reaches your mind. This is natural life. And it tells your mind, don't do that. That'll hurt the family. So when we say a people mentally dead, we don't mean that they don't have a mind to go and work for McDonald's. They can go and work for McDonald's. What McDonald's got for them to do is they can do it. But when it comes to keeping a human spirit at home and human love at home and making sacrifices to keep the life at home good, they don't have any life to do that. They're dead to that. We are here in this place right now and hope to be here again next year this time. And we are working and doing the week, doing the month and the year in many places. Why? What is our main reason? Oh, we are Muslims. That ain't enough. That ain't enough. God says that he made us and formed us in the stomachs of our mothers. Now, I know you can get very technical, which some of you like to do, but what we see is the stomach of our mothers growing. That's what we see. We don't see that technical explanation you want to give me right now. We see this mama's stomach getting bigger and bigger. Okay? And when the baby is delivered, we see the mama's stomach go back to normal, not big anymore. God says he made us, formed us in the stomachs of our mothers. And he made our pictures most beautiful, beautiful. Made us beautiful. And God says again that he is the one who made our picture, single picture, not plural picture, not more than one picture, because all of us have our individual pictures. We have our racial pictures, we have our individual pictures. And God says he made our picture, single picture, and he made it the most excellent. What is that? What is that saying to us? That you should not be thinking about your identity as a race and thinking that's more important than your identity as a human being. The single picture that God made of us is that he made us all human. Science, in order for it to study, treat, and improve upon human life condition, medical science or whatever, they don't send us to school to study a white man's life or a black man's life. They send us to school or teach us what is a human life, what is the human anatomy, what is human skin, what is human hair, what is human bone, what is human blood, etc. So in order for science to treat the body and help the body be healthy or overcome a disease or a fault or some kind of problem, it has to identify the body as the human body, the system as the human system, etc. It's no different for spiritual world, for the spiritual world. If we want to treat the spiritual ills of ourselves and of the whole world, we got to look not at racial pictures, not at national pictures, not at ethnic pictures. We have to keep before us the human picture. African-American leadership, church, and wherever you are, government or wherever you are, you got to stop making your racial picture more important than your human picture. And then we can do something about these ills. Then we can do something to establish ourselves. We have to first be established in our human form before we can be established in any other form in any good way. If you are not established in your human form, when you try to establish yourself in your racial form, you're going to establish a mess. And likewise, for any other form that you want to establish yourself in, if you are not established good in your human form, you make yourself a mess. And this whole country tolerating the mistreatment of blacks for over 200 years, and tolerating the law in one part of the country that treated us like we were leopards with some kind of disease that if it came too close to other people, they would be diseased. Drink at the fountain of your own people like you'll contaminate the water. Don't sit in this seat in the bus. Rosa Parks changed all that. Sit in these seats for the blacks. You can't eat at this counter. This counter's for white folks. Oh, the North wasn't guilty of that. Yes, the North was guilty of that. That should have bothered the North so much that the North wouldn't have tolerated it one day. Yes, I'm not asking for claps now, but thank you. I'm not asking for you to cheer me. Thank you, Izzo. Yes. So we can't say don't blame the North. No, they were playing games. And I'll tolerate you doing your thing as long as your thing ain't hurting my thing too much. But as soon as the time for industrialization came and new machinery to replace the cotton workers, the cotton pickers, cotton gin was invented, these new things came, and they in the North didn't see where that situation down there was good for the North. It was bad for the North. The North put its minds on factories. So in order to develop our factories and increase our factories like we want, we got to get rid of that slavery down there with all those human machines picking cotton. Say, we can make a cotton gin. We don't need them anymore. So let's change this thing. Oh, Abraham Lincoln freed us. Yeah, with a lot of economic pressure on him. And a lot of other things pressuring him. He freed us. No, you freed yourself by telling them this is enough. And then God gave you help by bringing in circumstances. Yes, to make the world a little more softer. You know, I was coming, getting ready to dress up to come out here today. And I'm sorry to get off of my planet, but I have to tell you this. This fits so well. I was getting ready to dress to come out today, and my mother used to dress me when I was a little boy, and she wanted to do it herself. I could dress myself, but for certain occasions, she wanted to put the finishing touches on it. And when she got me like she wanted, that her smile, she had a bright smile, bright gold teeth there, that gold teeth be sparkling, that gold tooth would be sparkling, and she would be smiling, a bright smile, lighting up her black face. And she would say to me, "Now you're looking like I want you to look, my boy." And she would pick the tie and everything. So I kind of depend on that right now from a woman. And there was a young woman in the house with me today. What are you folks thinking? Good God Almighty. God Almighty. The world is so low you can't get up. And I said, I have two ties here. I said, I like both of them. Both of them go with what I'm going to wear. This is the one here. This is the one she picked. I said, both of them go with what I'm going to wear. So she, very sensitive, because, you know, you all make all the people so too sensitive when it comes to me, you know. You don't tell the imam what tie to wear, even if he asked you to. You don't tell him what tie to wear. So I guess she's been influenced by that kind of stuff. So she hesitated. What did he tell you? Which one to pick, you know? I insisted. I said, no. I said, tell me. She said, both of them look good, nice. I said, no. If you were going to wear it, which one would you pick? She said, I would pick the one with the circles design because it's softer. Softer. The other one had square designs, like a rectangle square design. She said the circles are softer. And when she said that, I said, wow. I said, is that why a beautiful night of stars, all those round stars in the heavens, is that why it soothes my soul? It's soft on me? Yeah. Thank you, young lady, for bringing my attention to something that touched my soul. Yes. So let me continue and conclude this. Now, water is clear, transparent, you see through it. Tasteless, if it's pure water, tasteless, and without smell. It's preferred by people who haven't been eating junk food, the stuff, fast food stuff, junk food stuff, processed foods, ready packaged stuff, pop or sugar water, carbonated sugar water. People who have gotten used to drinking what man sells for you to drink, pretty soon they don't want any water. Oh, I don't know. I don't like the way water tastes. I'm giving you the words that I heard. I don't like the way water tastes. But don't you know that when you don't like what the scripture is telling you to accept as your spiritual life, it's because the world have destroyed your ability to taste by giving you the wrong thing all the time. So it's not easy. It's not easy to stop drinking pop, but sometimes the doctor will tell you, if you don't stop drinking pop, I can't help you. Now, you want to live, you got to cut out that pop. Don't be drinking it, pop. You got to stop that, you know? And if you are sensible enough, you'll stop drinking pop. And after a while, it might take you weeks or months, or some months, or maybe even a year. After a while, that water, your natural taste will come back. Your natural ability to taste will come back. And you will love the taste of water. You will say, like I hear some people say, now, I heard it when I was a child, and I hear sometimes now, there's nothing like the taste of water. And really, it's tasteless. It's tasteless. But it gives the mouth and the taste buds. Isn't that something? Here's something that's tasteless. I ain't talking about salty water. I'm talking about plain water. Here's something that's tasteless. But on the taste buds, it's so agreeable. The taste buds like it so much. Those are signs, my people. Those are great signs. We need to change the way we think, change the way we live, and we need to take our life up with our own hands. I think Booker T. Washington was saying that when he said, pick up your buckets where you are. That was after slavery. The people, the slaves, didn't know what to do. Oh, I don't know how to employ myself. Now I'm free. Before, I could go to the master and work for the master. And he would see that I had a place to stay. And he would get me up in the morning. So I'd go out to field and work. You know? Now there's no boss in your life like that. No one mastering your life like that or taking possession of your life like that. So the slave is lost. Lost in a free world. Booker T. Washington said, pick up your buckets where you are. Whatever you learned in slavery that you can use in now in freedom time, do it. Start there and build yourself up, build your life up. He said if you used to take care of the missus' hair, you knew how to take care of her hair and make her look pretty. Open up your beauty shop and do that. If you farmed well for the master, get you a piece of land and farm for yourself. Booker T. Washington was a very sensible leader, very intelligent, rational, practical leader. Yes, I mentioned him, but there are many others to mention. We have to take our lives up into our own hands. Don't be satisfied looking at TV at one basin in Egypt or at one Miss Fanny who's doing very well in Egypt. Now, I hate to do this, but I don't know how else to do it. Don't see Mr. Keyes, I think his name is Keyes, the Republican, and his popularity that the Republican Party has given him overnight, and say, oh, he getting someplace. Don't look at Oprah Winfrey, terrific lady, biggest thing in talk show television, white or black. Don't look at her and her great success and her millions of dollars and say, hey, look at us now. No, look at her now. If you want to see us now, go back to your neighborhood. Thank you very much. Peace. Assalamu alaikum.
And alaikum assalam to all of our listeners now. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Highly glorified is Allah for all that we've heard. And as I stated at the beginning, it is a message that all can use, all of humanity can use. But truly, the African-American, now we ask ourselves the question, and speaking directly to Muslim African-Americans, he said, yes, we're all Muslim, but do we leave our neighborhoods to go and receive, get what our needs are from someone else providing it? Through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, highly glorified is Allah, blessing them with the provisions. But there is a message to charity or help begins at your own door, or at your own doorstep, or in your own community. And you, the you in the community, must be contributing to the development. The spiritual guidance is there for just that, the guidance. But we have to be connected. And once we are connected with the economics exponentially, that means not just one time around, two times around, three times around, greater than five, that we are able to see the appear. It appears it is not just an appearance. It is actually happening. Actually happening, where the circulation, there's no numbness in the African American contributing, even if we're just one living in the community of other people, then that one, we the one, has to be on the end of contributing in the provision area, not just in the receptive area, or going out and searching to see what others are providing for me. Let me go and see what Mr. or Mrs. Jones have for me. We have to be the contributing entity as well. So it's great, it's better when there's greater number providing. But again, the responsibility still lies at the feet of Muslim African Americans and African Americans in general. Because others are doing just that. But because we have been emptied out, and we mean and being emptied out, really truly opened up, emptied out, mentally enslaved, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us to rise from the dead in our circulation of the wealth. So praise be to Almighty God, whether it goes into babysitting, car washing, clothes laundering, yard raking, landscaping, construction, typing or collaborating with office in ending or cleaning offices or providing, what do you call it, creating electronics that are useful by anyone. But being a contributor to the circulation, alhamdulillah, I can't stress it enough to myself. And the basic, the foundation of that is trusting Allah, that Allah does provide. So whatever hoops we have to go through, praise be to Allah, go through them. And with that, anyone with any questions or comments, please press 1 on your phone. We intend to be back here at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. Right at about this time, I believe Imam Fahim Shu'aib is presenting Jummah. So if you hold on with me, we will check and see. All right? Thank you for being here. Hold down, please. We're going to play a public service announcement while we check on that. All right, here. Families, community, city, state, country, and more. Everything starts with you, the individual, you. What is the character of you? Are you a book? Can you be read? Join us every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a wonderful hour of information being shared by you, with you, for you, the you in all of us. I am Martha Naila Abdullah, and I am your host for Community Developmental Stages. Again, every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., be there. And yes, be there. We invite you to join us 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as I'm looking here for, what's the name of the masjid? Clear Understanding is here. Imam is over Masjid of Oakland, right? In Oakland, California. Anyone knows the phone number to Imam Fahim Shu'aib? I think it's 319-527, but I don't know whether the last ending four-digit numbers are. If you stay with me here. Let's see here. Oakland Islamic Center. No. Press 1 if you know the name of the masjid. We'd love to hear of Imam Fahim Shoaib. If I get that phone number, then I... Oh, Masjid Warstein. Yes, Masjid Warstein. Okay. All right. If you know that phone number that we can connect
aware of the internet. We love to get that from anyone. Like I say, I think it's 319-527. So we'll see here, inshallah. I'm seeing on Facebook here, but that's so I'll go with the number that I see. Hold one moment, please. Okay, no, that is not being answered. But we're not going to give up. I know that the imam is on Saturdays, clearunderstanding.net. And I'll check the board here in just a moment to see if someone has raised their hand. Okay. Okay, don't want to leave you with silence. There, that's what we have. Right now. Okay, automatic. Let's see. Okay, let me check the board here and see if anyone has pressed 1 so you can share with me. Okay, yes, we have Mark Shaheed. Thank you, Mark.
Assalamualaikum. I've been on here for about 5 to 7 minutes to give you all the information.
Oh.
So, good brother, good friend, Imam Shuan. Yes, ma'am. So this masjid word theme and the Kukbah number that you can get it live is area code 319-527-6176. So it's 319. Okay, I'm going to say it again. 319-527-6176. I'm going to say it one more time. Area code 319-527-6176. And you can get the Kukbah Live there and Masjid Word Theme in Oakland, California with Imam Fahim Shuwai. You can get it live tonight, this evening, I should say afternoon for some here. And then in the morning, you can get a repeat of the Kukbah, and you can get comments and all on the Kukbah tomorrow, depending on where you're at. And that begins at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. No, it's not. I'm sorry. It'd be 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, because I have to understand that they on Pacific Coast Time. So you can get it again for clear understanding. And that's a three-hour production he does with the Kukbah, and also 2 hours where he'll let you come in for a few minutes, and I'm usually on there giving commentary. And then he takes off and takes it up to noon, but it'll be like 10 a.m. Pacific Coast time, and it'll be 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
1 p.m., okay.
Once again, Yeah, so once again, 319-527-6176. They can get the cook bar there at Masjid Wahthin in Oakland, California.
All right. We're going to go there and see how much of it we can catch. If they have started already, I know they're behind us. They may be starting.
Well, sometimes you don't start exactly. So it's about 2:30 here. So that means it's about 3:30 in your time, Eastern Standard Time. And so it would be about 12:30. Sometimes it's 12:35, 12:40 before it starts. So you can go ahead and try. It's a possibility to start, but it'll be maybe the next 10 minutes, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much, my brother.
Oh, no problem. Look at the studio, boy. If I'm around, I'm going to press one. Goodbye, information for you.
Thank you so much for your patience, because I was on another screen, and I had to go back
over. Oh, you weren't looking at the studio. But as soon as you asked, I was ready to give you the name of the masjid, their masjid Wahthin, and give you the number, too. I know it by heart. I have my own screen inside my head.
I hear you. I use mine for a lot, but that one just eluded me. Thank a lot for you.
Yeah. But you had the area code in the first three numbers correct, and believe it or not, man, Fahim Shuai, once it was so funny, I was on his production Clear Understanding, and so he clicked me in. And he said, Mark Shaheed, I need you to give somebody's trying to get in. I need you to give them the number, the Blog Talk number and everything. He said, because I know you know it by heart. You know it by heart, but he doesn't know his own number by heart. Don't tell him I said that, but it's true. Yes, ma'am, go ahead. And so hopefully, if you can't get it in, if you can wait for maybe another 5, 6, 7 minutes, you'll be able to get some of it. I don't know how much time you got left, but you can get a portion of it. Yes. He gives shorter cook bars now.
Yes. if it should be that we hang up, I will recreate an hour space so that we can hear what's coming out of Oakland, California. All right? Let me check it.
Yes. Okay.
All right.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. All right, everyone. Please stay with me here. Let me dial into that number, and we will see what happens. 6176. See, Mark, I messed it up. 6176. Okay. Open to start, everyone, but it hasn't started. So what I'm going to do is recreate so that we'll be right at the very beginning. For those who are on the Pacific Coast time, this is for you, too. Praise be to Almighty God. And for those of us on the Eastern and Central time, it's a benefit to us, right? All right. So we're going to hang up now, and I'll recreate and just check back in 5 minutes for me. Thank you, everyone. Assalamu alaikum.